This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
We listen to Lifehouse, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
Are you familiar with, like, Calvinism as a concept?
Luke 22:54 through 57, Peter denies Jesus. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man was also with him." But he denied it, saying,
"I don't know who this man is. I mean, he could be walking down the street. I wouldn't know a thing. Sorry to this man."
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have good Christian fun. Good Christian Fun is a podcast where we talk to Jesus and we say sorry to this man.
Excuse me.
For our sins. Pardon. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, Christian music, movies, entertainment, stuff made for, made by, made to, made from Christians, evangelicals, evangelical mainstream. But we're not here to make you go to church or make fun of your beliefs. Unless you believe gay people are bad. We'll make fun of that belief all day long, baby.
It's hilarious.
It's hilarious that you think that and wrong. We're just here to have good Christian fun. How are you doing, Caroline? It's been a few weeks.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I said to you when you came through the door, I feel like I haven't seen you in years.
Oh, here I am.
Your hair is grayer.
It probably is.
Really?
Yeah,
do you get any grays?
What else is wrong with me? See, back at it
like
again, at Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, just getting in the saddle, like riding a bike. But yeah, it's been a good time. I went to Disneyland over the weekend. I'm feeling full of fun and Mickey Mouse pep.
You know what? We have a guest in the house to talk about
Life House.
But it's not Dr. House. It's not Hugh Laurie. I'm so sorry. Let's introduce her right now. Oh, friends, folks. She is a comedian, I'll say she's an actress, she's a writer, she's one of my favorite ladies of front-facing camera comedy on Twitter. Friends, give it up for Olive McGowan. What's that?
It's McGowan.
Damn McGowan?
It.
Fuck!
Do it again.
Ladies and... nah. Okay, let me do it again.
Ladies and ladies.
Ladies and ladies. Friends, She's a wonderful friend to me. She's a treasure, a treat, a pleasure, a delight. And above all, she's professional. Friends, give it up for Olive McGowan!
From the top.
Hey, everybody. It's episode 103. So I invited my 103rd favorite person in the whole world. Everybody, give it up for Olive McGowan! Is it like Rose McGowan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have clarified.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, friend.
You ready to
sing? No. Do you know the song at all? It's okay if you don't. It's not a popular song with everybody, especially people from the 90s.
Okay.
You're born in the 90s, much like Caroline Ely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're right on the cusp of the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me and Taylor, 1989.
Mm.
The
wow.
One of...
And the comparisons go on from there.
They go on from there.
Olive, welcome to the show.
Where I think Tina and Amy are going in the afterlife, all that stuff. I want to remind everyone that there was an interview in which Taylor Swift, in response to a joke that Amy and Tina made about her dating a lot of guys at the Golden Globes, she said they're going to hell.
But, yeah. Well, she's like, there's a special place in hell for women, women that don't help each other women. Yeah.
She said they're going to hell. But you know, it's not going to hell if it does exist. Olive McGowan.
That's true.
I hope not.
Thanks so much for coming on the show, friend.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Hey. Now we have a lot of overlap in our history, in our respective testimonies. There's a lot of Venn diagram just geographically.
Quite a bit, yeah.
You were raised in?
In Houston, Texas.
Get at me.
Yeah.
I used to hate Houston. It was like hometown stuff.
Yeah.
But like in the intervening 10 years I've lived in LA, especially having visited Houston and Dallas and Austin, all these like Texas cities more, Houston is like either first or second.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always heard Houston was just like, just like not very nice to be in, you know? Like
that's
a town.
That's the main
Dallas,
complaint.
You mean?
No, Houston.
Houston.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of oil refineries, but we gave you Megan Thee Stallion.
We did.
Dang.
Hey.
Hot Girl Summer.
The Houston music scene is very good overall,
and
especially a lot of Houston rap.
Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about rap. We're here to rap about the Lord. And our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, my favorite.
What's your history with faith and stuff? How'd you grow up?
It's a long...
An old H-town?
Hey.
Yeah. Long, long, long history.
We only have time.
Okay, great.
We don't have money,
we're just running the clock here,
time.
Honestly. So whatever you'd like.
Long ago.
This is one of those characters. She
runs
does
the clock.
The front-facing camera
the
con.
Oh.
She does the bros and she does the old
she
lady.
She does old lady.
Yeah, pretty much since I was born... I was going to church, primarily Baptist in like my younger years. My dad became a preacher when I was, I don't know, I don't even remember when he wasn't. We went to a massive Baptist church. I just called my dad a preacher because he led Sunday classes.
Gotcha.
If that makes sense.
But he wasn't like a pastor in the sense of like a shepherd with the flock and like meeting.
No, I think he really wanted to be.
Oh.
But something was not right, I guess, about well, we'll get to that. Basically, my dad was the most like religious person in our family. He would like spend hours just deep diving into his Bible every single night.
Yeah.
He was very strict about like what I could and couldn't watch, or me and my brother could and couldn't watch.
What's the weirdest thing that they outlawed in the household?
There were so many. Harry Potter was that really bummed me out.
Yeah.
Pocahontas?
No, not Fantasia.
It might have been Fantasia.
Is
Mickey
it?
Doing sorcery
yeah,
shit?
Yes, that was
it. Yeah.
He's a freaking witch.
Yeah.
So
that's
Mickey.
Why I couldn't watch Pocahontas.
That.
Bad. Dumbledore, bad. Gandalf. Yeah. Meh, Gandalf's all right.
Yeah. Lord of the Rings was fine. It was so selective and weird.
There's no witch equality in Christian pop culture consumption. Like,
yeah.
Like
it's like,
to slip
I think
through.
It, I
yeah,
think
Lewis.
It just,
Lewis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it just depends on whether the parents, like, I kind of want to watch that.
I know, right?
And then they're like, yeah, we'll make an exception.
Matrix is cool.
But the one that pissed me off the most was Halloween.
Oh, boy.
Halloween, like,
I wasn't
Mike
allowed to
like, do anything
participate
Halloween.
Oh,
in Halloween.
Not the movie, the event.
The event.
And you
the
wanted
entire
to, you
ass
to dress
event.
Up.
Yeah. I mean, like, I've always been, like, a performer kind of person, so like the idea of a holiday where I could pretend to be someone else, I was like, heck yeah, I'm gonna be whoever I want. But
when you were growing up with your dad being this like Bible focused and everything, for a while did you also like aspire to be in the same way too?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I thought my dad was like an absolute hero. I was like, he knows everything. He has a personal relationship with God, which was like the...
She did air quotes.
You know, like, that's the highest.
Yeah.
You know, he would tell me that, like, he talked to God and all that. And I was like, well, I want to have that one day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was super intense about faith and whatever. And then for one reason or another... Yeah, he said something to his congregation, in air quotes.
Okay.
Because it wasn't like the full church. It was so like the church was so big that we had these classes that were like Bible studies for like individual groups. And like for kids, it was age-based. But like for adults, you could kind of choose.
Yeah.
He said something to the effect of a person once saved is not saved forever, and that they can lose their ticket to heaven, basically.
Ooh, so dropped even, it.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, no, it went through the gutter.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It blew away.
Yeah.
Which is a big, you know, theological controversy, depending on
where you're at. Yeah, a lot of people were upset. Mm-hmm. He left the church, and we started church hopping very rapidly. It was like a different church every Sunday.
Oh, man.
And there were some weird fucking churches that I went to.
Like
there,
what?
I went to one where they, like, spoke in tongues.
The whole time?
Not the whole time.
Oh, but it'll get
it was like an evening Sunday service. I still remember it. It was in, like, a warehouse. Like, there were no seats. Oh. It looked like a kind of like an airplane hangar space. Wasn't that big, but it was
like...
Were
you on a dairy farm by chance?
No. It was like some sort
those
of
those
like,
weren't tongues.
I have no idea where this place was, but all
but
a,
like
I,
airplane hangar, just empty cavernous.
Yeah,
like,
it was just like
room.
A huge yeah. like warehouse, all concrete and tin walls. Wow. I was like, okay, like, this is cool. Like I mean, I was just there for the ride. Like,
yeah, like,
usually, like, when we started church hopping, my mom and my brother were like, okay, we out. Like, we're not going to do this anymore with you. And, like, we'll probably keep going to Memorial if we can. But, like, otherwise, you figure it out. And then me being, like, daddy's little prophet was like... I'll go with you wherever. And so
you were like HW playing family. Dude. Yeah.
It, the rift gets rifty.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we went to another church for a little while that was like really small. And he pissed off that preacher for something. I think he said something to the same effect and like called him greedy or something like that.
Oh.
And then eventually my dad just like fully lost his mind, and it became apparent that he was bipolar. And it was being untreated, stopped fully going to church, and he ended up entering a mental hospital for suicidal attempts and ideation and stuff like that. After he had his run-ins with the mental hospital, he started drinking. My mom started drinking. And by that time, I was like 10 and my brother was 15. And so he was like an angsty teenager. He had a lot of rage. I had kind of taken it upon myself because my dad had said all of these things to me that, looking back on it now, I know are just kind of like bipolar mania speak. Telling me that I was like a prophet and that I was meant to do great things, mm-hmm. and that I am a child of God and that I need to keep going. But once he fell from grace or whatever, he stopped saying those things to me. And I was just like, well, in my mind, I convinced myself, well, the devil's got him, you know, like that's just the deal. And I'm going to free him. Like, I'm going to figure out how to free my dad from the devil. I know.
Oh, baby Olive.
It's so much. Isn't that amazing? And so I
did you seem like up to that point the devil was a pretty active figure, like as far as like what you thought of God and church and like God devil.
Yeah, devil
the time,
was
and,
just as real as God.
Yeah.
He was a supporting character in your life.
Yeah, the rhetoric that's always like the devil only goes for people who are close to God. And
yes,
I was like well,
the
that's
better you're doing.
That's, yeah, that's why he got him target, because he was trying so hard. Yeah, and
it's a lot of mission confirmation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The further my parents, you know, got into their alcoholism, I kind of turned that narrative into the devil testing me or God testing me, even of just like, okay, I'm gonna take everything away from you and see if you can still go to church. And so I kept going. The Memorial Baptist Church was actually like 4 blocks away from our house. And so I would walk to church every Sunday morning and Wednesday night for youth group. It was really difficult because everybody still remembered my dad, and everyone had heard the gossip of him being in a mental institute. I was like, you know, 10 or 11 and having these like gossipy Southern church ladies come up to me and being like, "How are you? How's your dad?" And I would just have to be like, "He's good." Like, I don't know.
Those ladies, their hats are as big as their mouths.
They were so intense. Most kids at church like have their parents there with them. And I hated being like the target kid at church that like youth group leaders and like women in church would come up to and try to save, you know, like I was their good deed if we like took in this girl that is in a bad household. And
they kind of made you feel like the run to the litter or something.
Yeah,
or
I definitely
like the one that needed the lifeboat the most. Yeah.
And it didn't always manifest in kindness. You know, it was mostly pity, sometimes judgment.
And for you too, being like, I also remember what it was like when I wasn't this kid, you know, when my family all went together and you all knew my dad and I was like a normal quote unquote person, you know.
It was such a switch. But I also had friends that I knew at church. Like I had one main friend from church that her family was also kind of fucked up. We bonded over that. Most of the girls, like, they would invite me to their sleepovers, and it was never because they wanted to. You know what I mean? Like, it was always, like, their mom was like, "You should
extreme
invite
eighth
that
grade
girl
vibes.
With, yeah. Oh, and then I'd get there, and they'd be like, "Don't tell Olive that we're doing this at midnight," and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, like, God. So just, like, straight up bully.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I relate to that because I feel like I was one of those girls.
If you grew up in Kingwood, you definitely were one of those.
Yeah, okay. So wait, what was your perception of Kingwood?
It was Mean Girls.
Yeah. I was a mean girl. Well, I was a theater girl.
Like, I think of like trampolines, pools, and blow up moon bounces on birthdays.
No moon bounce for me, but the other two.
Yeah.
Although I think we got rid of the trampoline when my dad fell through it. It's funny. You can laugh. He's alive. It's okay.
He didn't die.
He's a good man.
From a trampoline.
He fell through a trampoline.
Okay. It's really funny.
Imagine like a 50-year-old me falling. See, there we go. Yay.
I'm just like a cartoon, like, whoa, like stuck in your
turns
waist.
Turns into a skirt.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no, it was he fell through like the slats, you know, where the springs are.
Oh, ow.
So he like.
Everybody does. Yeah. You're just going to get hurt on a trampoline. I don't know
it's
why we have
so many.
It's actually
kind of crazy, though.
But before you get hurt, you're going to get squirt. Having fun.
Oh.
No. Oh, well, maybe on accident. But that was the social dynamic.
And you kept going
kids.
To church like with all this bad vibe coming at you all the time and like weirdness.
And it, I think up until 12, I wholeheartedly believed that I could save my dad if I like prayed hard enough and if I just like led by example. And then this one night, I came home from church and he was like really drunk and he just like laughed in my face and was like, "I can't believe you're still going. Like, you actually still believe? That's crazy." And I was like, there's no, like, I can't do anything. And I kind of like had that realization. And then the narrative turned to, okay, well, like God is going to replace the dad that I don't have anymore. And so that's why I kept going. And I kind of, the more Christ-like I was, like the better daughter I was, if that makes sense. If like God was my dad now, like if I truly like believed, then that would be it. And then like around age 13, house got so bad that I actually left and moved in with my grandparents.
Oh, wow.
And they lived like 5 hours away from Houston.
Fredericksburg.
Well, really far.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're amazing. My grandfather since passed, but my grandmother is still around and I wouldn't be sitting here right now if it wasn't for them. Like, they are absolutely incredible people. But after I moved to Fredericksburg, it was even more Christian. And so that was my new home. And I loved it because I had parents now, and I had their like unlimited support in everything that I did. And then I started making friends through theater. All of my friends went to church and stuff.
Mm.
When I was 13 and things got really bad, I was kind of like, I think I'm done with church. But then I met one of my best friends in Texas. She went to Church of Christ.
Church of Christ is the denom that actually does believe the stuff that your dad was talking about, where it's
yes.
like, you can lose your salvation.
They
it can be a
do.
Ticket that gets lost.
They definitely believe that they're the only denomination that gets into heaven. They don't believe in using instruments in church. They don't believe...
because they're not in the Bible.
They don't believe in women speaking in church at
like,
all.
Period?
Literally at all.
Non-announcements?
No announcements, no prayers, nothing.
Boy. One of my best friends in high school was a Church of Christ preacher.
Whew.
He was like a 17-year-old kid
yeah.
who grew up Church of Christ. And, you know, he
was... what is this? There Will Be Blood?
A little bit. It was around the... actually, we did see There Will Be Blood together.
Whoa, and he was like, wow, I really related to yeah. that weird...
oh, that poor man. Oh, that poor religious man. Daniel Plainview shouldn't have done
that. The shouldn't have died at the end. That sucks.
Oh, spoilies. It's been 12 years.
Okay, so...
but your best friend was Church of Christ.
Church of Christ.
Yeah, my best friend was Church of Christ.
She was into it and was like,
I mean, it was all she knew. It was the church that she was raised in, and her best friend growing up was like the pastor's daughter, and so they were very much involved. And like the community itself at that church was very... nurturing of their church members. Like everyone had each other's backs. Like if somebody had a medical emergency or if somebody died or if something went wrong, they were always there for their congregation, which I appreciated.
Did you feel like you got more genuine support than you did at your old Kingwood church or Houston church?
No. only I mean, from my friends, especially from my best friend. Absolutely, but it's a small town. Everyone knows everyone, and everyone wanted to know my deal.
But was it worth it because of the friendship you had with her, and that's why you kept going?
Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely why I kept going. And then, like, the deciding factor was when she took me to church camp with her that summer. I can't really explain the absolute, like, intoxication of like the Holy Spirit that you feel at church camp.
Feeling
like,
X. Oh yeah.
It's like euphoric almost. Like they never used instruments in worship at the church at the so church
that's,
camp.
That's really impressive.
Up on acapella?
Then. That's
yeah.
incredible.
Damn. But amazingly, and for a while I was like, this is fucking weird. Like, why can't we jam out to Lifehouse or something? But they every night would go into a gazebo. And all of the like high school level campers would come in and just like sing a cappella to the top of their lungs.
I have chills.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And like everyone knew like 8 harmonies to every song. It was so impressive. And I just remember like the first time I was in it, I was sobbing. I was like, this is the most incredible feeling I've ever experienced, is like being surrounded by a bunch of people who are all doing the same thing and not giving a fuck about what anyone looks like or what anyone sounds like. It was just yeah. all like complete vulnerability around people that I didn't know, except for my best friends. And then that year at church camp, I met my first boyfriend who I went on to date for like almost a year. He like lived in another town.
Oh boy. Yeah, a whole year?
Yeah, he lived in another town that was like 3 hours away. And I was like, I fell so deeply in love with him. And I think that also motivated me to stay in, because I was like, if I go to church, like, I'm going to meet the love of my life. Like,
well,
that's where I'm going to meet
kind of
him.
A deal.
That'd be dumb to think that.
And I was like, oh, but I like girls too. Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh. Yeah, I met him. It definitely, like, kept me in. And especially since, like, people at church camp were, like, so for it, even though we were, like, 14. They were like, yes. Yes.
Like, be intentional
this
with each
is,
other.
This is, follow your, the core of your relationship should be God. And I'm like, I just started
absolutely.
My period.
Like, he is.
Can
and
you
we're following
me, brother?
Him.
Okay, I guess I could give it a shot.
Jesus
boy,
porn
boy.
Only. So he broke up with me over Facebook.
I'm so sorry.
You say FaceTime. No, Facebook is worse.
Facebook. I know it's been a long time, but that hurts me.
Yeah, it was. Stings. It was. I was pretty devastated when it happened.
Was this post AIM when you grew up?
It was, but it was Facebook was still fairly new when when this happened.
That makes me feel slightly better.
Yeah, Facebook was like only like 2 years old, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Facebook came out when I was going through my first divorce.
I knew it.
That's kind of my
Kevin is 57 years old.
I can't do this.
So with Miss Piggy.
Why is it with? Why would I marry?
I'm sorry, it's just not working out.
Oh, it's me talking to my puppets. I see. Yeah, I had a fake marriage to a puppet in my bed. Yeah,
she moved out.
Oh. It wasn't Miss Piggy.
Oh no,
it was Janice.
Oh no. Oh, okay. Man. Honestly, Janice.
Why can't we just chill in our marriage, man?
Oh God.
Broke up with you over Facebook.
Yeah, over Facebook. I kept going to Church of Christ. And then I started dating a Catholic boy my sophomore year. Ooh, yeah. And his mother was very Catholic. For the first 4 months that we were seeing each other, he didn't tell his mom that he was with me. Oh, for a while, I was like, why can't you just tell her what's going on? He's like, she's really overprotective and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you're 16. What is the deal? And as soon as I started going over to his house, that's when I realized why he didn't want to introduce me to her, because she was like, so when are you converting? And I was like, to what? And she was like, the Catholic Church. And I was like, I mean, I don't have any plans. And she was like, well, your grandmother's Catholic. I know. And what? She was like, well, then why aren't you? And I was like, I just haven't thought about it.
It's not gonna. Hey, and then, are those Doritos for everybody?
See you later. Hang out with your son. Bye.
Wow. Like, I feel like at the time I would think she's being dead serious, but now in my adulthood, thinking about like her grilling you at 16, like, why haven't you converted yet for my son?
It's like, she was probably just
scaring
bored.
You off. Yeah. Or like, yeah, just trying to.
Having a laugh.
He was like, do you think you can start coming to church with me? And I was like, well, I go to Church of Christ on Sundays, but I'll go to youth group with you on Wednesdays. And so I started going. I church hopped so much before then that I think I truly developed an interest in theology and like a curiosity of wanting to know what everyone believes, especially like the weirder it got, the more I wanted to know. Catholic isn't the weirdest, in my opinion, but there's some things that not a lot of denominations do, like praying for an hour straight. I actually enjoyed doing that when there were like a couple of times where we would pray the entire rosary, and I learned it, and it was very meditative for me.
Yeah, it sounds so analogous to what meditation would actually be.
Exactly. I wasn't like, yes, God is answering my prayers. I was just like, I'm putting, I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking, but I enjoyed
it. Some change in the machine.
Yeah. And I also was curious because my grandmother is Catholic and I wanted to know like why she was that.
Yeah.
She's pretty liberal for an 86-year-old woman in Texas. And then my boyfriend told me to go on this thing called the Axe Retreat, which I don't know if you've heard about, but it's like a Catholic winter retreat. Basically, during your winter break, you go for New Year's Eve like weekend. Uh-huh. I thought a church experience couldn't get more intense than church camp. And then I went to the Axe Retreat and I was like, I am God's child. It's like, wow. I am a child of God again. And
it was like super charismatic. What happened on it?
I mean, it's super emotionally based. And now looking back on it, I'm like, that was manipulative. But like, I mean, the retreat starts with you going through the Stations of the Cross. It was like outside in the freezing cold at night. You go through these like different vignettes that lead to Jesus being crucified. And it's like a reenactment. By the end, you watch Jesus die on the cross, acted out by a dude you went to high school with. And
hey, Tommy.
And you're like, oh my God, like, I want to fuck him because he's playing Jesus. It's
complicated.
It's complicated, confusing, but powerful. That's how it is. It started with that. And then like throughout, we just got all of these like personalized like one-on-one things. Like, we had like this prayer session where like we entered the big house on this campground, and it was led by kids our age that we went to high school with, we all knew.
Yeah.
And so like these were mostly kids that were like way more popular than me, pretty, and like football players, like kind of like a Texas like dream. And they had like their hands all over me and like praying over me and like wanting to, seeming interested and wanting to get to know me. And I was like, oh my God, like this is amazing. Like I feel so seen and listened to. And then the last night we get like a bag of letters written by everyone on the team addressed to us specifically, like a personalized letter to everyone on the extra treat, and also letters from our family members and our friends. And then after that, after you read all these letters from like your parents that are like, I'm so proud of you, blah, blah, blah. I didn't have that experience because like I didn't have parents. I got a letter from my grandmother. But after that, you walk out of the of your cabin and everyone's parents are waiting for them.
Whoa.
In the middle of the night.
What?
In the middle of the night.
Whoa.
Also, they take.
This is sounding like Midsommar. Like, yeah, you're talking.
It's weird.
And I'm like, whoa.
And like they take your phones and watches away, so you never know what time it is for the entire.
Whoa.
You're like, all I know is that it's been dark for several hours, and so everybody's parents are waiting for them with like candles, and everyone just immediately like falls to their knees.
Oh my gosh.
And like, because you've been stripped of everything at that point. You are so vulnerable. And I remember I went on the Axe retreat with my best friend that was Church of Christ and my other best friend. I think she was Methodist, but everybody went kind of. And my parents obviously weren't there and my grandmother couldn't make the drive. So I didn't have anyone there. And both of my best friends' like families were standing next to each other, and I just like went to them, and like they held me.
Aww.
And cried with That's me. Good. And those are parts of it that like, no matter how I feel now, I can't. They can't be taken away in terms of like community and feeling loved by people. Just that moment specifically of like having people that weren't my family saying we're here. And so I did the Axe retreat, and then I started going to both churches every other Sunday. You know, I'd go to Church of Christ one Sunday, and then I'd go to Mass, and so I was like kind of a member of two churches.
Wow.
Which was weird. And then I went to church camp at the Church of Christ camp, and that's when I started to feel true resentment. When I was younger, a lot of the rules didn't apply to me because I wasn't old enough yet.
Mm-hmm.
But then once like adult men at church camp were telling me that my shorts were immodest because they didn't touch my knee, or that I'm not joking. Like,
it's just funny to picture you in knee touching shorts.
It's so hideous. It's so hideous.
It's not the look.
It's so bad.
No.
They were so strict about our dress code. The girls only. Boys could wear whatever they wanted, but mm-hmm. the girls
or not wear whatever they wanted.
Shirtless.
Yeah.
Who cares?
But we couldn't wear like tank tops, and it was 103 degrees in the middle of the summer. I was getting kind of angry about that.
I'm curious how you managed to like be enough of an advocate for yourself to be like, this is bullshit at this point. Whereas like maybe I or people like me would have been like, I'm sorry, you know,
yeah.
Like, oh my God. Yeah, you're right. And that was, yeah, I can't believe I
don't know what it, I think possibly it has something to do with my grandmother of just like, she's always been an advocate of like, stick up for yourself, especially when you think somebody is spewing bullshit, like things that are only meant to disempower you.
Mm.
Like when you start becoming a woman in a Christian church, or at least in my experience, the focus on sex is like, so it's like inescapable. Like everyone's talking about sex and then to not do it, mm-hmm. like it's a constant conversation. And I was like, why are we talking about this all of the time? Like there are much bigger issues that teenagers are dealing with that have nothing to do with sex. Like, why aren't we talking about depression or anxiety or eating disorders or...
And you felt those specific things at the time.
Yeah.
Because I feel like most people would just like...
all they were thinking about was sex.
Yeah. And they were not thinking about those things specifically.
Right.
And I think your kind of insider-outsider perspective did give it that... Because for me, or you know, probably a lot of us going along, we're just like, yeah, okay, whatever. Right, and like, we didn't think about depression or anxiety or body image stuff.
That wasn't on my radar at all.
And so in that way, I started to feel really unseen again. And then I, at church camp, and this was like after all the Axe Retreat stuff, I was like, you know what? I'm going to like try to truly figure out what church I want to go to. And so I would go up to the youth ministers that were at the church camp and ask them really hard questions about their faith. Every single one of them at one point turned away from me.
Weird.
Like as soon as I asked something that was too difficult, they'd be like, oh, well, lunch is coming up soon. So I've got to go. And I'd be like, okay.
That
like
sucks.
Yeah.
Cause usually people at least do you the benefit of like giving you a shitty answer. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they'll remain with you, but mm-hmm. to have people like thoroughly reject the premise of the question sucks.
Yeah. Once it kind of like became clear, I think amongst the church leaders at camp that I was like the outspoken girl there, they found it necessary to reiterate during our prayer circles and started reiterating the importance of letting men lead the church. And how we have to trust that they have our best interest in mind and that they're speaking the gospel all the time. We have to trust them. And so I was like, that feels so wrong.
Ugh, man.
And then the following year, I was asked to be a team member for Acts, which was like the highest honor, like especially since I wasn't Catholic.
Yeah.
They were like, we want you on our team. And I was like, damn, I am a Christian. Like, I got this shit down.
For real. Yeah. Because like getting a leadership position as a kid, like in the church.
Yeah.
Especially like, maybe if there's like a bigger pool to choose from.
Right.
It's usually like a really charismatic kid or the kid that like stays the longest or is like connect, like well connected and is like good at talking to adults usually. Right. You know, that kind of thing.
Right. I think looking back now, I think my appeal was that I was like the damaged kid on the team, which sounds,
you think so?
Yeah, which sounds crazy, but like everyone knew the year before Acts, we did this thing called Agape and we stood up and shared our stories. And so everyone,
that's what they want. They want the testimony because then it's like, look,
they literally wanted my testimony because
man.
I gave my testimony of like my fucked up family and all that and how I was still a believer even after all of it, because the first meeting of the Axe Retreat team, they were like, so are you gonna give your testimony at the Axe Retreat? I was like, maybe.
Wow. So you felt like a show pony at that point.
I kind of did.
Like, look at cool what God can do in like her crazy life or something.
Yeah.
Look at God.
And then I didn't end up giving it at the Axe Retreat. They did cast me as Mary.
Okay.
In the Stations of the Cross.
You're speaking to a fellow Mary.
Yeah.
Third grade. It was nativity
scene. Pretty amazing.
Always a Judas, never a Mary.
And then like,
when you do Judas in like your nativity scene?
Oh yeah. It's like, save
another baby.
He's like,
They did like a group vote for like who would play Jesus and Mary.
Weird.
And they voted for Jesus before Mary because it was like Catholics. And so they were like, Mary is the highest honor to play. And it felt so weird to vote for someone to play Jesus. I was like, how do I even? And then they ended up like choosing an asshole, like a jock guy that was like so fucking disrespectful to women. But they were like, yeah, he's some... he's the most Christ-like. I was like, okay.
Sure.
And then, after they voted me as mayor and we were like leaving, I was like, man, I can't believe that, like, this is crazy that I got married. And then this other girl was like, well, you're like the most virginal. And I was like, you're not wrong.
Oh, very sweet.
Wow. That's
again,
so
I would be a perfect
up.
Mary. Still.
Kevin, it's too
now.
Late.
No, I don't. No, it's
she
not.
She was 14.
I could
pass. Actually, you could probably.
No, sadly, I was 17.
Oh,
so.
Boy. Isn't yes. Mary like 14 or 13 or something?
Oh, God.
Mary's like 9 years old.
Hard to think about.
Mary
it.
Is
yeah.
just born. Yeah. So being on the team, I got pretty close to a lot of people. And then it ended and I was like, okay, like, I don't really want to be with my boyfriend anymore, though.
Oh, dang.
The one who brought me here. I was feeling still very secure in Catholicism I can't really explain because I didn't really like a whole lot of the people that went to the Catholic Church. I hate to say that, like, I want to be friends with people that have, like, been through things, but, like, I realized that, like, either me talking about my stuff was, like, trauma porn for some of them of, like, oh, tell me more. Oh, my God, that's so crazy. Wow. Oh, wow. How did you, oh, you're so strong. Wow. Or it would just make them wildly uncomfortable. And so I was like, there's no safe place.
You couldn't find someone that could just be.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Right. Except for, like, my best friend who went to the Church of Christ. I was like, she's my go-to like trauma, trauma disher.
A good listener.
Great listener. And I went to church camp one more time because I was really excited because the seniors at church camp like have a whole lot of influence and power.
Yeah, you like
and
run the show. Yeah, and it's you like do whatever you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, it's a lot of leadership.
There's
and,
no law.
And when I got there, I had all of these ideas. Some of them they let me do, which we'll get to when we talk about Lifehouse.
Okay.
But they let
smell
me
smell a skit.
Yeah. But for the most part, I was like shut down completely. And I got like this horrible knot in my stomach halfway through camp of just like, I don't feel valued. And I felt truly betrayed by something that I had dedicated so much time to. That's like the first time I felt betrayed by my faith. I was like, here I am, like, actually converting people, like, at the Axe Retreat and at church camp, like, truly bringing, quote-unquote, bringing people to Christ, and you're telling me I shouldn't speak or I shouldn't have influence here. Like, that's so upsetting, and it just made me feel so small. And then one night, this was like the night before the last night of camp. And this kid in our prayer circle, this kid from like Alabama was there. And he was like, my best friend back home is the most Christ-like person that I know. And he's gay. And he tried to kill himself because he thought he was going to hell. Mm-hmm. And that there was nothing he could do about it. I was just like so heartbroken for this kid because one of my best friends from Houston had experienced the same thing. And I was like, this is so toxic and sad that this is happening. And then I looked over at the youth minister. I was like, what are you going to tell this kid? He's literally like crying, telling you or asking you to like comfort him about this. And the youth minister goes, well, I suggest your friend take a look at Leviticus.
Oh, my God.
That's not even the right one.
That's not even a recent one.
It's not even the...
the main one.
Yeah.
Leviticus?
Yeah.
Wow. Just no compassion at all.
None.
Just like...
And then
just
you
like,
said, correct. I suggest you take a look at my ass.
Take a look at these.
These nuts.
These
right here.
Nuts. First D's, first nuts.
And I like... through to D's nuts. You can, like,
after that moment, I like looked over at my best friend and we just gave each other this look like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You ready to fuck shit up? And she was like, I'm ready to fuck shit
up. That's so nice that you shared that, though.
Yeah.
And you weren't, like, isolated in that feeling. Because it could have been, like,
Yeah, she's always been there with me in terms of like what was right and wrong and stuff like that. And so we were bunk mates, and that night we were just like, okay, so tomorrow is like the prayer walk, which is like this huge like emotional thing that the seniors lead. And we were like, we have to like come up with something, full well knowing that we weren't allowed to as women. We weren't allowed to like lead any type of lesson.
You're about to Norma Rae that shit.
Oh, I'm excited. That morning we meet with all of the seniors, and the boys are like, so like, what are we gonna do? and me and
great minds came together that morning.
Me and my best friend were like, well, we have these verses and a couple of ideas. And they're like, yeah, but like, you can't. And we're like, okay, what do you have? And they're like, I don't know, like, we'll probably just like put something together. I have like this really good verse. Have you ever heard of the John 3:16? And I'm like, okay. I'm being facetious. But it was like it was so half-assed and half-hearted that I was like, you don't even want this. Yeah,
job.
Like, I'm so passionate about this. And you, and then now I'm seeing is like, it's not just a church. It's like everywhere in your life. So the big night came. We do the prayer walk, and me and my best friend are like, when we go from station to station, we sing, and me and my friend are like leading the songs, and nobody's stopping us. And we're like, okay. And then at the end, we all meet at the amphitheater, and there's like a cross up, and then like the seniors say, senior boys say things. And they give the mic to like this guy who's like a shithead, and minus like one other guy that was like really, really great. but for the most part, they were just like, yeah, and yeah, and just like keep the faith, and yeah. After like this huge emotional,
beautiful walk.
And then we tried to get the mic, and one of the youth ministers was like, nope.
Like literally
damn, snatched. And then we were like, fine. And then after that, we all went to our final prayer circle with all of the seniors. One of the guys was like asked to give a little lesson for us, and he did it. And then the youth minister was like, so does anybody have anything else to say? And I was like, I do. And I stood up, which like nobody does unless you're leading something. And I had my Bible, and I can't remember what verse it was, but it was basically to the effect of like, God doesn't care who you are or where you come from, like
what you did, as long as you love him.
As long as you love him. And
it happened to coincide with a popular song at the time.
Yeah, I sang the whole verse. But yeah, no, I said this verse and was like, so what I'm trying to say is I'm allowed to tell you these things. Because God, he doesn't discriminate against who he does and doesn't want to preach the gospel. And it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. Like, you're good.
That's great.
And the reaction was?
Oh, my God.
Positive.
Yeah.
It wasn't?
No.
What happened?
The youth minister. Well, there was an adult woman that was like standing outside of the gazebo, and her lips were so pursed that I couldn't see them anymore. And then the youth minister was like, he just didn't say anything. And like, I sat down and he was like, okay, so just to reiterate, everybody stay seated if you're not leading. And I was like, well, I was leading, so fuck you.
I did it right.
But then after that, I was so angry with the lack of support that I had in my church groups and stuff like that. And once I got to college, I was just kind of like, I'm in no hurry to find another church. But I was aware, because I went to college in Colorado, that like maybe the churches wouldn't be as rigid. The two girlfriends that I made when I first got there, we're both still very involved in the Christian church. They were just like, yeah, we go to this church if you want to come with us. And then I go and I'm like, you know, I'll give it a shot. And I'm already like put off by the interior design. I'm like, okay, this is a lot of money. And then the sermon is about tithing. Yeah. The whole thing was just like, if you like want to be a real Christian, it's only right to give money to your church.
Okay.
And that's when I was like, yeah, I think I'm done with church going. And I went to like a Universalist church a few times in college, but for the most part, I just couldn't put myself in church communities anymore. I felt bad in both ends of the spectrum. And I'm not saying that there isn't a spectrum. But all I had experienced up until that point was just like shaming, sexism, homophobia. And then when that didn't exist, greed, pandering,
manipulation.
I was like, fuck, like nowhere is safe.
Yeah. Gosh, I was reading an article about Lifehouse, which just reminded me of this like thought. But I feel like a lot of Christians, when they hear these kind of stories, they're like, well, not every church is like that. Mm-hmm. And like, that's your story and yada, yada, yada. And it's kind of like, but every church is a little bit like that.
Yeah.
And like, especially maybe in the more mainstream stuff where everyone is kind of following a template.
Yeah.
And like, there's definite theological differences, but like, patriarchy is baked into so much of this stuff.
Because it's baked into everything.
Yeah. And especially the Bible. And if you're not like actively fighting it, then you are going to actually feel like this in most churches you go to.
Right.
I think it'd be healthy to acknowledge that across the board, for the best case scenario, in every situation, and whatever it is, if faith stuff or church or organization, in the best case scenario, there's gonna be some bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, and also too, like, if the church is like worshiping family in a big way, like, of course, if your family's unusual, that's also gonna like create isolation.
Yeah, that was definitely something which seemed like a theme. Very too. Isolating.
Yeah, and like that's not even the church. Maybe in the Catholic Church, like, that was trying to make you feel that way.
Right.
But just by nature of, like, the way the event was set up. It's like, your parents were supposed to be there. And if they weren't there, it was obvious.
And it made it so, it was like, oh. It brought so much attention to the fact that I, like, didn't have parents.
They weren't there.
I was like, oh, fuck.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
church, it's like literally in my face, everyone's parents and not mine.
Yeah, and like that went a really like high emotional moment. So
yeah,
I guess all that to say, like, or just support you and be like, maybe your experiences are actually kind of typical in a lot of ways, and like everyone has their flavor of it. But
yeah.
Oh, because I was reading an article, like the author was like a Christianity Today, and they were talking about the Lifehouse guys and how one guy had been kind of outspoken about the church being problematic or whatever. And then it has like a full paragraph where it's like, it sounds like that he's gone through a lot, though. And I think we can all pray and hope that like he softens towards the church. And if we treat him with kindness, like, he just like went on a little editorial spree on the side that like we could change his mind. It sounded like he just met a couple bad apples or something.
I think I also like made the realization in college, and I know that like in the Bible the church is of high importance and like that's like the base of your faith is going to church, but now I fully believe that somebody can be any religion and not go to church. Like fully devoted to their God, or I think some of my political views definitely overlap with like churches not being taxed and stuff, and like that being, I think it's an issue. I think if churches paid taxes, people probably wouldn't hate on it as much. Like it's a huge aspect of like people's resentment towards it. Like if people were paying taxes and then we're also like being assholes, they'd be like, well, at least they're paying to be there. You know, like at least they're like paying to like,
they're pitching in.
Yeah, like
some level.
We pay to like fucking smoke weed or whatever our thing is, and they pay to like hate gay people. Like, I don't know. But the idea that like people are gifted a space and platform.
Yeah, an institutional blind spot in the structure of the country.
Right.
Tax system is kind of wild.
Yeah.
Hey, well, thanks for sharing your story.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Fellow where are you Houston at now? Friend. Would you say if you had to like,
I'd say now.
Throw a dart at something.
I don't think I can ever say that I don't believe in something greater. That would mean that I knew everything. If I were like, yeah, that definitely doesn't exist. Be like, you're 24 years old, living in California.
Yeah.
But for the most part, and also like I've thought about my future kids, and like if they decided they wanted to go to a church, I'd like fully support and be like, okay, like do your research, and if you feel like you belong there, then I can't I can't stop that. But yeah, I'd say my, and it's gonna sound very woo-woo, but I believe like God is love, if that makes sense. Like,
oh, it sounds woo-woo, but the sound is woo-woo.
But yeah, like if there is like a God, to me, that's the literal definition is love. Like, not just like our God is loving, like God equals love. God is the equivalent.
Yeah. However love exists.
You're not using a descriptor for the bearded guy.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. You're saying love is God.
Yes, love is God.
Not God embodies love.
Love is all that is good and knowing and purpose.
And on that note, here we go. Can you tell Caroline what you told me the first time we met?
Wait, what do you mean?
Okay. The first time Olive and I met, she came over to a party at my place, and then we debriefed a few months later.
What?
And you said about the energy of the room the following.
I said, I knew I was in a room full of Christians. But why did I say that? I said because everyone was so happy.
Oh, ooh, it sounds eerie now.
Everyone just didn't stop smiling. Nobody blinked once.
Hey, you're in a room full of Christians now,
baby. I'm in a room full of Christians.
Well, let's take a break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wife house. My life. House. Can you keep it in?
My life.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. Let's dive into the topic of my wife house. Wait, what other... can I read some names? Can I list off some other names that Houston has given us real quick?
Yeah.
Because I said Megan Thee Stallion.
Beyonce.
It's also given us Jennifer Garner, Wes Anderson, Renee Zellweger, Alexis Bledel, Dennis Quaid, Richard Linklater, Billy Preston, Jackie Velasquez, Marianne Williamson, Hilary Duff,
Marianne
Travis
Williamson
Scott,
is from Houston.
Gia Tolentino, Beyonce, and most important of all, fam, Jim Parsons. Oh. Houston gave you bazinga.
Houston,
you
know, just seems like a big town.
His high school.
Shut up.
His high school drama teacher coached me.
Wow. Oh. Well, where's your sitcom? Where's your 10 million?
I know.
Hey,
come hook on. It up.
You don't
Jim
talk
Parsons.
To her like that.
This teacher's a hack.
What was your other Christian pop culture exposure? You were going to a Church of Christ at the time, no instruments, and there were not any bands touring through. So how did you, what'd you listen to? How'd you see this stuff?
I mean, I've been listening to like Christian music ever since I was little, because that's all we were allowed to listen to for a long time, was like, I told you about Cademan's Call.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was like my jam.
I'm so thankful.
Yeah.
That I'm in
Cademan. Not on this Texas sky you could see for a million
Come on.
Miles.
Is that voice a little bit country
levers.
Now that I think about it?
Derek Webb?
Like the, and I will go. It's almost like,
I think
and I
liked
will
it.
Go.
I liked it so much because they were Texan and... They were like trauma, like
what?
Their songs
they
were like about like mm. Like,
their songs were about something. It wasn't just like a bunch of like, bleh.
Yeah, I wasn't like, Jesus, I feel you all the time.
Kiss me, Jesus.
Yeah.
That's my count.
Oh, we were talking about them. We were talking about possibly... Wait, where was the
There's Brandon Heath.
I don't know Brandon Heath at all.
Really?
Who dat? No queen.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second.
That sounds familiar.
Casting Crowns, Natalie Grant.
Yeah.
We talked about.
I cried to her music.
Wow.
Held. This is what it is.
I got you.
To be held. I'm like, I need to be held.
Who told us we'd be rescued? What's changed and why should we be saved from
a young Olive?
Corny.
I think if Olive could talk right now, she'd say, this is sending me.
This is what it means to be held.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
When the sacred is torn from the
I needed to hear this today.
I'm gonna see Big Bird do that.
So, if you can imagine how amazing that is for a traumatized child.
Yeah, I get it. I could see it.
Caroline,
absolutely.
You would know Natalie Grant as the host of It Takes a Church.
Yes, that's right.
Show.
Whoa, so what?
Reality show where a church is the matchmaker.
You've got to watch it.
It is
very fun to watch.
It used to be on Amazon Prime, but we did not cover it on the show
before
it left Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah. It was like, it was supposed to be The Bachelor, but like, they found the matches from within the church.
That's incredible.
Family Force 5.
Family Force 5. That was definitely like the beginning of end of middle school, beginning of high school. Like, ooh, I found something that sounds like Cobra Starship, but believes in God.
What does it sound like? What is that? This is Family Force 5?
Yeah, this sounds disgusting. Olive, no.
No, this is good.
No,
I'm
Olive.
I'm with Olive on this one.
We've heard Family Force 5 and Saving Christmas.
Okay, but put yourself in the year 2008 again and tell me you wouldn't think that was the dopest shit.
I'd rock out.
Okay.
Hey. So you love the Natalie Grant song.
Well, because I don't know what it's like to be held.
Okay. I'm still wondering.
I know what it's like to be in a family force full of five. That's the Porters right there. We're the original Family Force 5. And then there was a little Lifehouse.
A little Lifehouse.
Hey.
I feel like Lifehouse was the original like surprise Christian.
Band. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes. Like, well, they
walked so Sufjan could run.
So he could rant.
So he could go off.
So Sufjan could run. Go off.
Please edit it out.
I want him to rant. You're really funny.
And another thing.
I implore you.
Article A, Section 2. I feel like their narrative is very entwined with Switchfoot.
Yeah.
Both lyrically, aesthetically.
Yeah, I thought they were the same band for
also,
a while.
Also, they just recently went on tour together where Lifehouse was opening for Switchfoot like last
year. That seems backwards.
Really?
Switchfoot is obviously on the B list of this group.
Well, I think Switchfoot had more.
What was their biggest song?
Switchfoot?
We were meant to live for so much more.
Yeah.
I love
that song.
It's good.
Yeah.
And but they've done collabos. But Lifehouse had you and me. So yeah, that's what I mean by like secret Christian is that like they were all in mainstream music. Like,
everyone I knew at the time, Christian or not, knew I find even more enough with you.
Yeah.
I remember. I just gotta freaking play it at this point. But Hanging by a Moment was one of those omnipresent for kids growing up in the in 2000 and in 2001. It was just like you're gonna hear this song a million times. Like what Call Me Maybe was for us a couple years ago, where it's like this song is everywhere. That's like what most radio songs just were.
Yeah,
when
yeah,
you
no.
were a kid, where it's like you're gonna hear this
when
song.
I listened to this again recently.
Yeah.
And I was like instantly transported to like a grocery store in Houston when I was 8.
Can I tell you what, Olive? I was listening to this album today.
Yeah.
And I texted a friend of mine from youth group that I have not spoken to
in 16 years.
Oh,
my God. It's so nostalgic.
You had their numbers?
I Instagrammed and then we started texting.
It's so nostalgic.
It literally sent
Which is why I can still cry.
Hey.
To these songs.
Well, they are. I also found that lyrically, at least for this album, the album we're talking about is No Name Face.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like overlap thematically with Reliant K stuff.
Yeah.
With like kind of, I'm actually a piece of shit and I'm trying to get better.
Yeah.
Stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that. These guys, Jason Wade and then Sergio something, they met at Vineyard Church here in Malibu, California, where the great Keith Green, Larry Norman, Bob Dylan, we're all connected to.
I recognize Vineyard. Okay.
Yeah. So Vineyard is that. And they were like a worship band. They were like a little worship band that would like play for the youth group and stuff. So these songs were written in a Christian context and then they just weren't on a Christian label.
Yep.
So definitely for this first one and then for everything. And then there's so many songs where they're just telling on themselves. Like in track 3, Unknown, they say, and I'm falling into grace to the unknown, to where you are. And faith makes everybody scared. It's the unknown they don't know that keeps me hanging on and on and on to you.
Yeah.
Maybe it's about a girl. You got to do a lot of math to get there.
Yeah. Whatever bands are like, it's not Christian. It could be, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. It's part of everything.
That's a surprise.
I'm like,
Christian
band.
Who
do you think you're playing? Yeah. Like, it's there.
Like
I don't
Flyleaf?
Know. Yeah.
Come on.
Grace is a tell. The word grace is
no
such
one
a
else
tell.
Says grace except for Christians. Yeah. Like, not that way, you know?
Or Grace Helbig when she introduces herself.
Right.
Breathing. That's a very thirsty for Jesus song. I'm finding my way back to Sandy again. Yeah. Though I don't know what I'm going through, what I'm going to take to get there. Take a breath and hold on tight. Spin around one more time. And gracefully fall back to the arms of grace. So that's about grace. Everything is clearly
Everything
about
is,
God stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember liking this song and the sound of it is so. I can't perceive this song correctly. You know what I mean? Like objectively. I'm just like, I'm a little boy in Houston right now.
All you like, need I to hear is a like a singing voice that
Someone's
goes
cutting my pancakes.
If it's like any
cut to those were the salad days. Pancakes cut as far as the eye could see. Bathtubs full of plenty. Lifehouse blaring. I do remember listening to Lifehouse with those pancake girls. There were these girls. Yeah. There was a group of girls I used to hang out with when I was a kid that were older than me. And then one time I asked one of them to cut my pancakes. I remember one of them, Courtney, said, she sang to this song, I'm standing here until you make me nude. And we were like, Courtney?
Courtney.
She's like, what?
Courtney's crazy.
She
crazy
was the
Court.
Funny one.
Classic Court.
So there's a lot of that.
I'm Courtney.
You're definitely Courtney.
We're all Courtney.
Yeah. No, you're not Courtney. You're
Tag
more of
me,
a
I'm
Megan
Courtney.
Than a Courtney.
I think we're all Courtney.
Ooh,
you
okay.
don't know who that is.
Yeah, I know.
Megan's nervous. The one, my clearest memory of her is her crying hysterically facing down on the floor in youth group. It was during like a charismatic
I
part.
I am a Megan, but still.
But she was funny.
Cool. What did they mean to you? Like, what did this album mean to you?
Pretty much all of like Lifehouse's discography up until like 2016, maybe 2006 is probably when they fell off for me. Mm. But everything before then was like, it's just like so ingrained into my childhood.
Yeah.
But specifically the song Everything.
Now, why is that?
So The Axe Retreat. Oh, man. You can't play it.
Take us back. Take us back.
So we did this was when I was a...
You got your shame.
It does.
Like this post-grunge
Back
stuff.
Back up your skirt a little more.
I hear the cash up.
Oh, man.
Wanna speak to me?
A lot of the women in the 90s, like Natalie Merchant and Lance Morissette, and everyone was kind of doing this sort of thing. And a lot of the boys were doing this sort of thing. Yeah. Scott Stapp and Dave Matthews, like,
Yeah, anything that is like sounding.
Yeah, such an affectation. I get it.
But at the Axe Retreat,
when I was an attendee, they put on this skit to this song about a girl that it's definitely suggestive that like Jesus is her boyfriend.
Yep.
Like if you
watched this, it, right?
Yeah,
that's the one she did.
Well, this skit, yeah, it's like everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know who invented it or like where it started.
I think Olive did. But well, I mean, where did you get it from?
Or maybe it was from the video.
Well,
I watched the video, it went viral too.
Yeah. Axe Retreat, and I was like, that is the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
It's very effective.
It is. Oh, God.
So, the guy that plays Jesus in this
particular What if I cry watching this?
I know, I mean, you might. Still kind of gets to
me. The video has 37 million views on YouTube.com. And it is a human video. It's one of the things we've talked about before where it's like kind of a dance, but it's kind of
it's
just
a movement
like a
piece.
Wordless sketch. Yeah, like it's like a lip sync almost. It's like a body sync.
They're miming.
I don't know how to talk about like everyone
it's
should
a,
just like
yeah,
YouTube it and watch it.
Yeah.
But it's basically like, the summary of it being a girl is God breathes life into her and gives her all these good things, and then the world takes them away. She's tempted.
She goes through like three rounds, and like other people come on the stage and embody like alcoholism or like
sex,
drugs.
Someone takes a flower from her.
Yeah, like there's a man that like romances her and takes the flower that like Jesus gave her or something.
Yeah.
And then it gets really emotional because then all of those people come back and literally like press on her physically. And so she's like crumbling underneath it at kind of the climax of this song.
And credit to the kids in this video because this is not poorly choreographed. They're
pretty good.
Like they know their choreography. It's not like...
And Jesus is like on the stage the whole time kind of trying to get her attention again.
Yeah.
But they really throw her around.
Yeah,
really
she gets like shoved and stuff. And then at the very end, as she's like just about to maybe collapse under everybody, Jesus comes and like throws his arms out and like... holds his arms and holds back all of the people who are like still trying to grab at her, and it's
very
it's, like,
effective.
Kind of, like, moving me now, like thinking about it.
It's so effective because like in any context, like even if you took it outside the context of Christianity, a story of like it could be like a father daughter or like you know like any kind of story that
Oh, I forgot. There's a bulimia temptation.
Yeah,
around.
There's the bulimia.
There's like body.
It's crazy.
I mean, so, it's fucking around with a lot of thematics. There is suicide stuff in it.
Yeah,
and like
because she like almost kills herself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the message is, if you stray from God at all, this is what's gonna happen.
Yeah,
gonna
just happen. Have like a drink here and there. But it's also like embodying like actual trauma that people could go through or that is hard. And I think you're right. Like you don't have to be Christian to understand like that's painful and like to feel protected would be wonderful.
Cutting herself.
Yeah, she starts cutting herself. It's crazy, dude.
So you were this girl.
So, right. I saw the sketch and I was like, this is amazing. And then I went to the Church of Christ church camp the following summer and I was like, I have an idea. and it was like for the talent show. Basically, oh God,
I forgot this part. She tries to run back to Jesus, and then everyone's pushing her away.
And the crowd at where they're filming is screaming.
Yeah, and this is when they like really start beating this girl up. Like it's, she definitely got hurt.
I did human videos, but nothing like this.
Yeah,
it's hardly a video. It's real life. Oh, man.
Sorry, I'll
what happened at the camp?
So, I'm trying to find a picture.
There is a picture.
Basically, I brought it and we did it and, like, it brought the house down. Like, because, like, we were playing music at Church of Christ.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so, it's like bringing a gun to a knife fight.
We played the song, but everybody was, like, everybody's cheering. That's so crazy.
I'm tearing up.
Hey.
You just see her like have peace.
Yeah.
Oh.
Cause Jesus got her back.
Jesus got her.
Unfortunately, it's incredibly well choreographed.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And you know, And then you just never have to deal with that stuff again, and it doesn't come back.
And then
ever,
you got
right?
your boyfriend, your husband, your dad,
everything works out, and you have a new white shirt, and it's all gonna be good now.
Are there any other songs on this album, No Name Face, that you connected to super hard?
Simon.
Simon. Simon is the one about bullying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Wait, were you bullied?
What do you think?
Were you the bully?
No.
Okay.
She talked about being bullied.
Well, not like, well, it, like,
I didn't
school?
Talk to about the, yeah.
Not oh, the actual like, bullying.
School bullying.
Yeah. Oh, school bullying. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Because I was like poor and stinky.
Oh man.
That shit is, that sucks.
Yeah.
Texas kids are a particular kind
yeah.
of cruel,
Texas
too.
Private school kids.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
So you listen to this song and you're like, this is me. I'm sorry.
I think like, you know, you hear that sound that's like that. There is something about that sound that was so soothing to me. Wow. I was like, yeah, I was like, this is, I could listen to this sound forever.
Oh, man.
And so, and I would just like listen to this song and everything and You and Me, which is on a different album. In my room and like come up with like my own movement pieces
yeah.
and like lay in my bed and just like nothing like dry like brings out emotion faster for me than like a song and
you'll cry at music more than you will movies yeah. or TV yeah
because for me music feels like the most vulnerable art form. And maybe it's because, like, the idea of me making music sounds horrendously vulnerable. I'm just like, I could never do that. But, yeah, like, hearing people, like, willing to share their voice and their lyrics and, like, sound is, like, so powerful. I don't know. Music definitely has helped me through so much
yeah.
in my life. It's like the next best thing of like having someone to talk to. Mm. You can still listen to a voice that it feels like it's addressing you personally. You know, like when you're watching a TV show, there's like a fourth wall. In movies, there's a fourth wall. But with like music, they're like, who else are they talking to other yeah. than the person that's listening, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, when you're alone in that moment.
And so.
How do I put this? I was talking with someone where. When they were talking about a particular, like their relationship with this artist or band, they said, he's talking to me. And that was like really resonant of like,
yeah.
oh shit, yeah. When you were listening to this thing, they're talking to me right now.
Yeah.
Like they're not like, here's a performance, come look at yeah. it. It's like, I'm talking to you.
Right.
Like I want to communicate and right. connect with you.
Right.
And that idea is very powerful.
Yeah. And I think that's like why I listened to Christian music that was like this. Because it's like this is like the damaged Christian music. Do you know what I mean? Like this and like Flyleaf and Switchfoot. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I was dealing with. I felt like a bad Christian all the time. And like I just wanted to be better. And yeah. I just wanted my family to be okay. And like still wanted to believe in God. But it was really fucking hard. I was listening to someone who was dealing with that too. Mm. And so like people thought, you know, especially in high school, if like I told someone I listened to Christian music, they'd be like, that's weird. But like, mm-hmm. I don't know. It was relevant to me. And then like, as I've grown up and there were definitely other artists that weren't Christian that were relevant to me at the time. Mm-hmm. But like, that's music has kind of always been my outlet for something that isn't, that I'm not doing. You know, I feel like when people are going through it, they like can find their outlet through like eating or like
hiking
or but that's even something that they're doing. Like I can't really explain it, but like the idea of like consuming something for comfort.
Yeah.
People like watch movies for comfort or eat for comfort or call people. I don't know. But music has always been the thing like that helps me the most.
Yeah, that's like self-soothing in a way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know what you're saying. One of my notes for the songs, because my general takeaway was like, cut yourself a break, dog. Like he's so hard on himself lyrically mm-hmm. throughout this where he's like, I don't know everything and I've tried to memorize stuff, but I failed right. at it mm-hmm. on one song. Like he's like, I made a lot of mistakes, but I'm trying. And yeah, I want him to loosen up and lighten up on himself. Yeah. But you probably connected to that sense of like being hard on yourself and like, oh, I can be better. And if I just need to do these things and then I'll get there. And I promise you I'll be better tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And if you just give me a chance.
Yeah. Some of those songs, I think like I had the fantasy still of like saving my dad and like, what if he said these things to me? Mm-hmm. Of like, what if he came to me and was like, I know I fucked up, but I'm here now and I want to try. And that kind of manifestation was comforting to me.
Yeah. Projecting the trajectory of like, oh, it can get better and you can like have penitence or whatever.
When you're a kid and you're like growing up in the church, like prayer feels like magic. It's this magic thing that if you do it, God will come through and fix the thing. You know, like I heard, we'd always hear like miracle stories of like my son was dying in the hospital and then we prayed for 12 hours and then he miraculously recovered the next morning and or like we thought we were going to lose the baby and then we prayed or I should have died in that car accident but then I saw an angel over me and like all that stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, well, it would only make sense if I'm being a quote unquote good Christian and my dad has walked in faith for several years that like if I badger God enough to fix him, like he'll do it.
Yeah, and it doesn't work if you just do it once.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't want that. You know, that's not dedicated enough or something. Just so strange, like the like like weird bargain you like I heard church it was like, but God isn't a vending machine. You know, you don't just ask for stuff and get it. So like don't trust that or like he may say no or something. Mm-hmm. But also like miracles have happened because of a prayer. That was uttered like, in like I need true an faith, basically.
I need an answer so whether like, or not it works.
Either way, yeah.
Yeah.
But, and so you kind of like found the in-between, which is just like keeping at it long enough, like proving, like holding up. Yeah, like holding up your end of the bargain like, somehow made something happen.
That was like what church leaders told me. And I had like a really religious uncle too that was like, he was really religious and he would just say, you know, keep the faith, keep the faith, keep the faith. Mm-hmm. I still don't know if I'm like wrong for not believing in him changing one day anymore. Cause I can't say never. Like I can't say no, there's no possible way he will get better one day. But like, I haven't spoken to him in 6 years and I mean, I don't even know what he looked. I don't remember what his voice sounds like. That's crazy. Like and some part of me is just like, well, maybe if you had kept at it.
Isn't that crazy that it's like your responsibility?
It's so deep, yeah.
To keep working hard and like that's the message you got.
Yeah.
And still is kind of there. Mm-hmm. And you know it doesn't make sense, right? Like you know it's not logically like correct.
Yeah,
and,
but if it was something that was so deeply ingrained at such a young age.
Yeah. And it's hopeful too because that means like there is a way out.
Right.
And it feels like, closing the door for that would be almost like giving yourself over to a worldview of like, well, I guess people don't change and everything means nothing and it's all is lost, even though that's not true, even if this is or isn't true in this case. But it feels loaded with like whatever this relationship is a referendum on how I see everything in the universe. But it's just hard to live that way.
Yeah. You're telling me.
Mm-hmm. Hey, believe you me.
Believe okay? you me.
Their number one streamed song on Spotify is...
You and Me.
All right.
I love this song.
Eyes closed, heads bowed. It sounds like a worship song.
Yeah.
What day is it? And in what month?
It's like a first dance song.
For weddings?
For weddings.
I think it's a high school prom song.
People definitely have slow danced this song at their wedding. I have.
And gotten a boner.
No doubt. Gotten a boner.
It's so embarrassing to get a boner at your own wedding.
If my husband doesn't get a boner at my wedding, I'm going to be mad.
Really?
I'd be like, why aren't you horny?
Come on.
Now.
Be hornier.
Be horny. I like this song more.
It's kind of great still.
And all other people, and I don't know why I can't keep my eyes off of you.
This was a song I have a very distinct memory in high school of my friend Jordan busking, singing this song outside of the local Cold Stone Creamery.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And he would sing this to girls going in like, "Is you?" And they're like, "No, thank you."
He starts it over every time.
"Is you?"
That's such,
you.
That's such a Christian boy thing, like, to like try to pick up chicks doing playing his acoustic guitar.
Cold Stone was like the spot.
Cold Stone used to work at Cold Stone too.
For one night.
For one night only.
Yep.
What happened again?
Were you covering?
I was friends with everyone who worked there. They're like, "You want to get back here and
you
help
didn't work
out?"
Okay, no. You were like thrown in.
Although I did have a job interview there. I did not get the job. But I did sing "A Scoop and We Will Go, A Mix and We Will Go, Hi Ho the Dario, We Thank You for Your Dough." This song you sing when you give, you know,
wow,
get a tip there.
You didn't get the job?
I did not get the job.
Shame on that Cold Stone.
Cold Stone needs to know that like tip celebration thing is like the reason why they don't get tips.
I think so. Oh, man.
Because I stopped giving tips because it made me uncomfortable.
I went there 3 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, you're like, "Oh, I don't want
or
you to
Or at least
have
I'd, like,
to...
I'd like do it in the electronic thing because they only do it if you give a cash tip.
Oh, okay.
And so I do it on the app and purposely avoid paying cash because I was like,
you?
I feel so bad.
Yeah, like I gave you a dollar.
I've
yeah.
never experienced a Cold Stone celebration that felt wanted. Like they were like, "Fuck yeah, I get to sing this song."
When I went, the last time I went was 3 years ago, and it was for another podcast. And when I tipped them, I was like, "Well." They're like,
"You're the one."
I know. Well, it was for the podcast.
They're just like,
"We don't do that anymore."
They shouldn't.
And they're just like slowly like slam down their scoop. Like, "Okay.
This
Daddy Warbucks, let's do this."
Let's just say avoid the Cold Stone at the Burbank Outdoor Mall next to the AMC. They are not happy over there. I think, though, for all their output and all of Lifehouse's stuff and Jason Wade's solo career, his biggest musical contribution is probably a cover of a little song called "You Belong to Me," which was on the Shrek soundtrack.
My God.
Is that by... What's it? Wow. What?
Yeah, it's a cover.
This really speaks to me.
I mean, if this doesn't hit you where you live.
Yeah.
She's a pillar.
I mean,
I remember this. I think I listened to this show.
He will have dementia because he is not getting enough oxygen to his brain.
Every once in a while, like, it pokes through when he's not doing the horse thing, and he has like a nice voice. I'm like, "Just do that.
Yeah.
You got it. Believe in yourself."
I know. You can't. It's like, why does everyone in NPR sound like Ira Glass is their dad?
Yeah.
Why is that? Why does every boy in the 90s that started post-grunge
sound
like...
I'm imitating someone, too.
We're all the sum total of everyone that we've ever met.
But I'm just a little different.
Okay. Any other songs we want to highlight on No Name Face? Six Cycle Carousel.
Oh, God. This one's kind of...
This is the one where it's like... I just keep sinning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't stop.
He's on
sinning.
A cycle.
Sin cycle.
It's on now, a carousel.
Now, for those that didn't grow up in the 90s and 2000s, I will say a cycle of sin and repentance was not a popular songwriting topic. This was kind of one of a kind.
Yeah,
was
that's
Sixpence None the Richer a secret Christian band?
Yeah.
Damn, I fucking loved them.
Yeah, they're great.
They're very good.
They're legit.
Girl band. Oh, man.
Voice of
My
an angel.
Favorite song. Was
Piss Pee.
Oh God.
Piss Pee.
What was it called?
There she goes.
Have We Forgotten?
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that song?
Oh yeah. Right. That's the opening of that album.
Damn. I remember listening to this on my CD player in the car.
Your portable.
And anytime we hit a bump, it would skip.
This album is good.
It's so good.
We get a holy toast for sure.
We took a trip. The only vacation my family ever took was to Colorado when I was like 8. And I listened to this CD on repeat.
Aww.
On my little portable CD player.
For this me, that great. Was Philip Glass's soundtrack score to the hour.
Oh, boy.
Meryl Streep and Allison Janney kissing in a movie? Hubba, hubba.
Oh, they kissing that?
I've never not been this.
Yeah, you don't have like...
it's not worn out VHS screen. Like in your house somewhere.
No, there were DVDs by then.
You can't but you wear still insisted out. On a VHS. It's easier to rewind.
No, you're the weirdo that insisted on VHS. Oh, boy. No, they're great. They're great.
Yeah. Did y'all ever go to like Christian bookstores when
Lifeway,
you were little?
Family Christian store.
And Margo. Do you remember they had those like squares with
CDs,
each album button?
Oh, yeah.
And you could press it and headphones. It would sample the album for you.
That rocked.
I loved that.
That was cool.
I remember like parents would like sample entire CDs at the Christian bookstore before they like bought it for their kid. And I'm like, dude,
I didn't have.
You're at a
like
Christian
that.
Bookstore. Like, there's an. I it's promise been pre-vetted. You, they're not going to be talking about like fucking women and doing cocaine or anything like that on these.
Well, Reliant K did have some crazy stuff.
I lost my virginity to Reliant.
Therapy is bullshit. Get off your meds. 10, 3, 4. Girls are moody. I do remember.
I never really liked Reliant K. Does that make me bad?
Makes you not a Christian.
But I knew it will.
That's okay. My parent vetting the CD story from 2001 is I wanted to get the Josie and the Pussycat soundtrack.
Oh, hell yeah.
But my mom was like, it's a little too sexual. So we got we got Super Chick's debut album instead.
Oh, okay, my God.
Which I liked.
That's great.
Karaoke Superstar, uh-huh. Barlow Girl. That was great.
I'm so glad your mom wasn't like, Kevin, are these the two options, you know, for you? Or like shamed you for it or anything, because those are good. But nope. Also that movie, Josie and the Pussycat Dolls, was not a great film from what I remember.
It's having a critical revival right now.
Really?
Oh, yeah. People are like,
it's
this
just
is
because
one of
Gen
the best
Z
movie.
Is like obsessed with early 2000s.
Oh, early 2000s, yeah. Weird stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, let's rate Lifehouse, the way this works, Olive.
Okay.
McGowan, is we give it a holy toast, holy roast, or a space between holy toast. That's a thumbs up. We send Lifehouse from Lifeway all the way to heaven. Toast them where the angels are toasting them. They're falling more in love with God. Or holy roast, we send them to the house down there. The death house. Hell. Or Dave Matthews, the inspiration for maybe Jason Wade's voice, The Space Between. That's purgatory.
It's a space betweener for me personally. The hits, I mean, I was like, here we go with, and then as I was listening more, I was like, oh, it's kind of beautiful and like pretty good songwriting. And they seem cool and like some unproblematic faves. So I'll put them in a space between for me.
Okay. Olive.
I'm going to give him a holy toast.
Holy toast. A wholehearted holy toast.
For all the things they got me through.
They spoke to you where you were. That's mm-hmm. really powerful and special.
Yep.
And they rode the line so much that, yeah, they did kind of age well.
Yeah.
I don't think they've said any problematic stuff.
I don't think.
I didn't find any.
I did find an interview where they were talking about like the kind of like daughter girlfriend of it all. He was talking to Jason when he was talking to MTV Radio. He said, it's one of those songs I'm really afraid to put an explanation to as far as what it's about for me personally. Talking about, I think, breathing or hanging on a moment. I don't want to lose its mystery and mystique. Everyone interprets it differently. It's funny hearing people telling me what it's about to them, because then I can go, maybe that's what it is about. It's got a weird mystique to it still. No. So he liked playing the game.
Yeah.
Also, a sweet story about him is that he proposed to his girlfriend with You and Me before they released
that's
it.
That's right. Oh, like years God. Before they released it. Yes. Yeah. At Disneyland? Maybe I confused that with something
maybe.
Else.
My info is Wade was 20 years old when he
holy
proposed to his
shit.
Girlfriend. Winning her heart with an early version of You and Me, he recorded to cassette. 5 years later, the song was released and became their biggest hit.
Wow, that's crazy.
I also read an interview about
the magic of a Christian relationship.
Inspire some good art.
Getting married at 20.
Song.
Get a little pain, get spared a little pain.
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword.
Get a little peen.
I will give it a space between as well.
Well, y'all are phonies. So.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
That hurts my feelings.
That's fair.
Oh, my God.
I thought you guys were my friends.
You and me, hanging on a moment.
Bully
I was
you all over again.
I feel bullied.
Man, that's fair.
You and me, well, no, hanging by a moment was like a transporting device where it's not even like, oh, yeah, I remember when I was listening to this. I'm like, I'm there right now. Like, it became visceral. I remember like where we were driving at night and who was in the car and who was singing what. And we had to go to the hospital later that night or something. Like, there's a lot going on. Wow. But I remember that so vividly. And it makes me... It
triggered you deeply.
It triggered me deeply, but it made me cherish the memes, TBH. Oh, yeah. Like, I really do. You know, I loved those Thompson girls. But we're not the final word. Get to at Christian Fun Pod. You can vote for it. And just like you're going to vote next year in the election. So,
Pokemon, go to the polls. Rock the vote.
Ballers.
Corn pop.
Ballers.
Pokemon, go to the polls.
Nick Weiger, when describing a milkshake he had on Doughboy, said, this looks like Joe Biden's brain right now. And I can't stop thinking about it. There was corn pop and squeegee, and they were all there. All of this is the time where we dim the lights, the candles are lit. But unlike the Church of Christ, we do have music. We have these pads and synths that we play.
They just hummed at the Church of Christ.
They just hummed?
Really? No. Oh, it's like, wow, that would be...
That would get so tiring.
Really strange.
Oh, no. We're not here to promote our social media or our projects. We're here to lift them up to the Lord. And maybe also what we're enjoying in popular culture. And we start with Caroline.
I'm going to lift up, first and foremost, me. At Caroline Sparts on Twitter and Instagram. And then I want to lift up a Twitter account that I love. It's a vulture writer, Hunter Harris. If you're not already following her, get on top of it. It's great. She's hilarious. It's Hunter Y. Harris. And then I'll lift up Hustlers. I saw that movie by myself on Monday night, and it was a great time. But it's like a very good movie. Like, it was better than it needed to be, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Caroline. We turn it to Olive.
I will also lift up myself. Follow me. Follow me on Instagram.
She's a great tweets. Follow. I will also
or
recommend
Twitter at Olive McGowan. Spelled hey. E-N, not A-N, not related to Rose. Thankfully, no. Oh. So... Oops. I'm going to lift up a short film that I was involved in, written and directed by my good friend Ariella Barrere. She's on Hulu's Runaways, and she's trying to get her director's feet moving. And she directed a really cool piece called Jelly, and it's about the exploitation of minorities in feminist spaces.
Wow. And I watched the trailer for that today.
Yeah,
it's really
it's
cool.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. But we still need some funding. And the GoFundMe link is in my Instagram bio if you're interested in donating. And if not, if you can't do that, then just share it around or just keep on the lookout for when it is completely made and it comes out. And I'm going to see if I can get her exact at, but a girl that I... did the 24-hour theater project with in New York. Her name is Megan Pope, and she has the silliest, funniest tweets. And I don't think that she has enough followers, and she totally should have probably more than I do. Let me see what her at
yeah,
is.
Yeah, what's her at?
The at M Pope tweets.
So all of y'all follow her, but then when you do, at her and say, God sent me here. To follow you.
Say God's prophet sent me.
God's prophet sent
me. Herself.
Oh, yeah. Contrary to her last name, she is Jewish. So.
Oh, so she's fine.
Cool.
Great.
Yes.
Say follow. Great. Thank you, Olive.
Yeah.
You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun every week. We do a second service on Friday. And then leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We donate $1 to charity for each review to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation this month. Olive, thank you so much for joining
us. Of course. Thanks for having me.
Fun hang. Sweet.
Fun hangs.
In the words of evangelical women everywhere, sweet friends.
Sweet friends.
Sweet friends.
My sweet friends.
And there's nothing left to say except for an Olive Pond's people. Said,
amen.
Happy end of horny summer, everybody.
Oh,
I had to sneak that in.
Unceremoniously ended.
Well, I know there's mixed feelings
still
about
time.
Horny
still
summer,
time. Still
so
time.
Yeah, there's still time for
everyone.
I think we're past it. I think it's like a couple days.
There's still
after.
Time.
Oh no,
there's still time.
There's still
extend the deadline.
Hear that voice? Whoa.
There is no deadline.
A frisky fall or a hashtag hodum coming your way.
Hodum?
As well. Perhaps. Olive, what's a song that meant a lot to you, that CCM, that you listened to and loved growing up, that you want us to go out on?
By who?
By anybody.
Can you do 40 Acres by Caveman's Call?
Oh, can I? I can. Here it is. Yeah.
Don't you just want to have a good day now?
Yeah, I do. I want to go out on a drive in the sun.
I want to go on a drive into the sun. All right, well, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And I'll stay alive about the last time that I saw you. You said, call me
Pandora, call me. That was a HeadGum Podcast.